Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, what up, guys? This is Victoria, the Outdoor King, and I'm about to have a good time with Tammy San on Tea with Tay.
Hello. This is a fresh episode of Tea with Tay. As you know, this episode is proudly sponsored by my faves, Lipton. And today I have a superstar in the building. He's a singer, songwriter, rapper, Vic Tony. Please put your hands together for my guests. Hello, superstar.
Hello.
I've been waiting for you. Is this how we're waiting for superstars now?
Move X-Men. It's Lagos.
What's happening?
Limit on Lagos.
What's happening when you late?
I already told you what happened now.
Tell the camera.
No, they don't need to know. It's just give it to us.
I mean, it's good to have you. I'm a fan. I mean, I listen to your songs and I knew that I would want to sit down with you. Yeah.
What's your favorite Vic Tony song?
Oh, power, God forgive me. You know, I'm a Jesus boy, but
I have songs.
Yeah, I like Apollo. I like Holy Father.
Okay, fair.
And Soweto is an all-time favorite. Yeah, I think Soweto will go down in history as a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, big ups on that. Okay, let's get into it. You know, because I'm a fan, I know Vic Tony, but I don't know who Anthony Ebuka is.
Mm-hmm.
That's your real name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who would you say Anthony Ebuka Victor is?
Well, Anthony Ebuka Victor is that kid that, you know, grew up in Lagos, started music 2017 professionally. But prior to then, I've been doing like freestyles, SoundCloud covers and all that. Then I took music seriously when I got to the uni, because that's when I had like the chance to like explore, you know. When I was in secondary school, I didn't have the time or, you know, have an opportunity to go to a studio and try out something. So, I mean, there was Instagram and that's what, like, I was doing at the time. But I went to uni. I could use my feeding money for, like, studio time and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You did that?
I said, yeah, of course, yeah. Because obviously my mom would give me money, like, to go to the studio now. I mean, she didn't have a problem with it, but it was like school first at the time. So, yeah, I started doing music and, you know, here today. So, yeah.
Is this who Ebuka is?
Off the top, I don't really know what to say about myself until you like kind of like ask me questions.
But yeah, right.
That's what I,
Okay, so, you know, as adults or whoever we are, like, there's certain influences that, you know, make us who we are. The factors that come into play. I mean, to even be Vic Tony, there are too many factors that came into play for you to be this person now.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, what are those factors for you? Like, tell me, what was growing up like for you?
Growing up was, like, really interesting. I mean, thinking about it now, living, like, a different life makes me appreciate, you know, everything I went through growing up. Like, it was not so easy. You know, staying in Iba Housing Estate and later moving on to like Iano school.
You lived in Iba?
Yeah.
The Iba that is before, like, Iyanoba?
Yeah.
I knew that yesterday too.
You knew there?
How
do you know there?
When I first come to Lagos, I did say Egbeda for go one.
Are you serious?
I still go on. I still go on for like 6 months. So you get one of my friends, that's for you. Like, she just stayed by estate. But I didn't know that it was that far. She said, my come visit her from being like, I go say, maybe.
It's fine. If I don't
know. Maybe. Hello, bye. I took like 4 or 5 buses that day.
Yeah. From Yaba that far
to Egbeda. As I enter Egbeda, I can't carry another bus. So they go like a Shenyo somewhere.
Yeah.
When I reached there, I almost insulted the girls. You know, you could have just met me in school.
I don't even like to say Iba housing estate because, like, a lot of people don't know there. So I'd rather just say, oh, before First Stack. So I use First Stack as a landmark.
Iba is not before.
Yeah, but like, a lot of people know First Stack. That's like where they know, you understand? Yeah. But they don't know Yanoba. They don't know that side of Lagos. So, but that's where I grew up. That's where
you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up there.
You
I went
like
to.
You grew up in Ikoyi? But okay. Tell me about growing up in Iba.
Ha. I mean, man, everything you hear about Iba is like true, like the insecurity, cultism,
really,
robbery. You know, it was crazy growing up there, trust me. So, I mean, you have to have like a certain level of orientation to, like, you know, to survive there. So you won't be, like taken as a softie. You feel me? So,
but yeah. Deep down, you're a softie.
Deep down.
Mm.
Nah. Forget what this feel.
No, like. you they give me like, you know, should we say, yes, we live here, but our parents will guard us. Like, you give me that type of energy. Like, your parents guarded you.
I had to learn. Like, at some point, like, my parents weren't even, like, around. I mean, at some point, like, things were, like, pretty rough. So,
right.
My mom had to go to, like, Uri to work. And my dad, like, was working in Ghana at the time. So, it was just me, like, secondary school, like, from SS1 to, like, SS3. So, I had to learn.
So, who were you living myself with at the time?
I used to stay alone. Or sometimes my sister would come back.
In secondary school?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have any extended family that could come around and stay?
Nah, I didn't want that. I mean, my parents would tell me to go to a family friend's place and stay, but I'd rather just stay alone.
How old were you then?
I was, like, 15 or 14 or something.
A 15 or 14 year old is living alone.
Yeah, because like my dad told me he left his, like, growing up, he left like his home like 12 or something, you know. So my dad's story like really inspired me because like my dad had like a very rough life too, you know. Like he sold drugs like at 16, went to prison, you know, came out. So all that stuff like kind of like just, I mean, at 15, 14, I really told myself, like, you know, be small picking again, do you understand?
Right,
so
right.
I started thinking, like, differently.
Right.
So, yeah, but growing up in, it was a lot, you know, it was really, like, a lot. Going to school around that area, too. You used to hear about all the secondary school fights, like, government school, all that stuff. Like, I wasn't part of it, but, I mean, I experienced it, you know. Like, I had a cousin who was, like, stabbed, like, at the time in secondary school. Like, with all that fighting, I mean, they were fighting with a government school, I think. I forgot it, but yeah. Like, so we experienced it was close to me, but I wasn't involved. Right, so.
Which secondary school did you go to?
It's like Milbank Hall.
Around
that Yeah, end. It's like really close to Lasso.
Mm.
It's like really close to Lasso, so. It's rough, it's pretty rough too. I mean, it calmed down when I, like, my set, but, I mean, people before me were like, really rough, like, yeah.
But you know what? You know what they bust my brain? You don't give me, some people, we don't go through that kind. You know how they do.
Yeah.
You they give me soft and just water vibes. Like,
oh, yeah, because, wow. Like, you don't have to. I just left all that PB behind. Was like, you know, I found, like, the life that I wanted. Yeah. And so it doesn't show because, like, I've never been, like, really involved.
But, you know, what's interesting and I wanted to ask is that, you know, you were born in 2001, right?
Yeah.
In the 21st century.
Yeah.
Literally some years ago, right?
Yeah.
And you have gone through all of these things. And now you're a star at 22, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of your formative years. Like, did you even enjoy being a teenager or you were just already working? Because if at 15, you're already putting your shit together. In uni, you're like trying to do music and everything. Like, did you have like your teenage years with your friends? Did you experience that? Or you were just about, you know what? I'm a man now. Yeah. I have to sort out things for myself and I have to work. What were your teenage years like?
It's kind of like in between, because like I knew how to like balance, you know, wanting to be ahead and also like being with my friends, and you know,
doing regular things.
Yeah, doing regular stuff. So like, I used to party a lot when I was in secondary school. I used to organize parties, like I used to use the opportunity.
You know what's happening about secondary school? The whole time, what happened in secondary school?
I'm telling you now. I used to party a lot. Like my parents, every time they traveled, like. It was like a party I had to go down in my house, like definitely.
What were those parties like?
Ah, do you want to know?
Big tell me.
I mean, all teenage stuff, you know, doing stuff we're not supposed to do.
Like what, please?
Like what? I mean, at the time, like drinking.
Right.
You know, one time I was suspended. So let me tell you the story. What they gave me, I was labor preferred at the time.
Okay.
And I was the labor prefect for just a day, because when they were giving us the badge, I was at a hall nearby. I was organizing like a party like for students, right? So, and a couple of students were missing in school because we paid like the gate man to allow some students like exit. So, Monday, the covers blew up, like, because like somebody wrote down our names and they took our badge. They gave me like labor prefect on a Friday and our badge was taken on Monday. So, and I was suspended. I didn't tell my parents. I'm sure they'll just find out now.
Wow.
So, I didn't tell my parents. But yeah, like, so we did stuff like that. So I knew how to balance, to keep that balance as well.
Yeah, so music, right? When did you discover that, you know what, this was going to be the path I was going to tour? Was it as a child? Did you have any musical influence? Were your parents even musically inclined at any point in your life? Or it's just something that you realize that, you know what, I have this talent, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, growing up, I used to listen to a lot of rappers.
Right.
Right. Drake, Kendrick, you know. And I just let them, you know, I tried to like imitate what they were doing at the time.
So you wanted to be a rapper?
I was a rapper.
Oh.
I'm still a rapper because I still apply those techniques when I'm writing in my music. So I studied them real close, you know, tried to do everything they were doing, write like them. And that's how I went off to like just do my own thing. You know, that was like my path, like, you know, discovering myself. So if you listen to like the old me, you will hear like Kendrick. Right? It's like you duplicate of Kendrick, right? So yeah, listening to those guys like kind of like inspired me to go into music and, you know, moving on. I started listening to like pop artists like John Bellion, some EDM Shah, and it kind of like expanded like my mind to like want to try like different stuff. Right. So, yeah.
So, you officially started doing music in uni.
Officially, yeah.
What uni did you attend?
Federal University of Technology.
Oh, where?
I'm still in uni though.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You're still in uni,
yeah. Yeah, I'm a final year.
Which uni be that? Did you attend classes or?
How do I attend classes?
Yeah. You just show up, Sha.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You shall graduate. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, but tell me about music in uni. So this was a career that you wanted to push. So you would take your own money and go and record songs.
Yeah.
How were you so sure that you were going to blow? Because it's one thing to be using your feeding money. I modeled for 4 years in uni, and trust me, I don't regret it, but I don't see one naira come aside from inside that career. So you invested so much in doing music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how were you so sure that, you know what, it was going to yield you something eventually?
Well, I had that belief, right? But I don't think that was what, like, really pushed me.
Okay.
It was, like, my love for, like, music. because I really love music. So if you give me like 1 hour, I'll go to the studio. I want to spend time in the studio. I want to hear myself. Mm. I'm not even thinking about if I'm going to blow or if I'm going to make it or not. Like, I just wanted to like record first and hear myself. Like, what do I sound like now? You know, how good I am, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was it. Like, I just really loved doing music.
And,
so.
And these producers and were no weary, like,
yeah,
in school.
Yeah.
Were they like really good producers at the time? Or?
I mean, they were really good because if you want to consider the environment, it was very limiting.
Okay.
Right? It's very limiting to be in that kind of environment and still be able to come up with good content.
Right.
Right. As a producer. Mm. So, yeah, I'll say they were really good.
So, by uni, you probably had like some fame for just being a singer in school. Were you already performing in school? Were you like a local artist?
It was in stages, right? Because when I got to like uni in my first year, I wasn't popular.
Right.
You know, but I did some shows, I did some performances like around school and people would just stare at me, you know. But I mean, people from the crowd would, you know, cheer me and tell me that I'm doing a good job. So in 2021, I released a song called SMS, right. Sing My Song. And I kind of like, it was there, you know, growing in school. It was like, who's Victoni? Right. Then I showed up for a show and then I performed the song and everyone.
I mean, all the girls were shouting. What did that do for you, like, as a young person? Like, you were probably, like, in your teens then.
Yeah.
Right?
No, 2021, I was 20.
Okay, 20. Okay, yeah. So this is your 20-year-old.
Yeah.
You have a song in school and everybody's... What's that fame like? Because I didn't taste fame in school. So, I mean, I knew I was popular for being a model, but we had local artists that they were not big outside, but in school they were the shit.
Yeah.
You understand? What was that feels like for you?
It was really nice. You know, because it made me realize that, oh, this is what it feels like. It gave me a taste of, you know, what superstarism was all about, you know. And it just made me believe in myself more and know how possible, you know, this stuff like is. Like, if I keep pushing, definitely we're going to be doing like world stages. So it was really good for me at the time, because I mean, prior to then, you know, when you have doubts, like when you're doing something, it's just your friends that believe in you. So that particular event really boosted like my morale and just like, you know,
And you wanted to be a superstar so bad at the time.
So bad.
Because, you know, sometimes like for me as a, I don't know about you, for me as a creative, right, I've visualized my entire career in my head, what this would be. But as you said, you have doubts. Sometimes some people don't even believe in you.
Yeah.
It might even be your parents that don't believe in you. Yeah. Just want you to like go to school and maybe become a doctor, a lawyer. But in your head, this is what you want to be. You visualize it. So at the time when you're in school and all this is happening, right? That's helped you just realize that, you know, this thing is doable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it did. It did. You know, when you're working on stuff and you want people to appreciate your content, right? And you want people to see what you're doing. Yeah. So that was like a very, very, you know, a very, very dope moment for me, honestly. And yeah, I can never forget that performance you did.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I still have like videos so I could go back and, you know, feel what I felt at the time.
So by the time that you were in school,
mm-hmm.
you were an established rapper.
Mm-hmm.
When did the switch happen? When did the singing and all of this happen?
It's when I did the SMS song.
Okay.
Right. So that's when I started trying out more singing. My producers would tell me that I had a good voice, but I used to ignore that because I'm like...
You wanted to be Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Start,
like, this rap thing, make we... Because I felt like singing was for soft people. You feel me? Like,
the irony.
The irony, really. But, yeah,
so,
like...
So wait, so... Because I can also, like, I can see you as Victoria. And what I see is the singer who's like, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you something.
So were you like hard rapper?
Yeah,
like,
go check out this video on YouTube.
Okay.
It's called Menace. Just check it out. Victoria Menace. I left it on there so people could see the transition.
Right.
You know. So that's how I wanted to be, this angry guy. Spitting bars. Like, just, you know. Yeah, well, I mean, when
so was never really singing. You're never really about your vocals.
No,
really.
Yeah, I learned Afrobeat in the very short. I started Afrobeat in 2020.
So like, this is just a walk in the park for you because really and truly, you're grounded as a rapper.
Yeah.
Your parents, what did they think about your music thing in school? Because it's one thing for them to send you to school. And it's one thing for you to decide that, you know what, this is the part I'm going to do.
So they didn't really know what was happening. Because I still gave them good grades. You know.
Oh, you still maintain your grades? Yeah, how?
Yeah. I don't know. I've just always been that smart guy.
I'm sorry, what are you studying?
Bachelor of Engineering.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious.
This guy, they wire me. So wait, are you saying that whilst you're doing the music and everything, even now, your grades are still intact?
Right now, I mean, obviously, it's shaky.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm giving music more time. Right. At the time, I didn't need to leave Ori for Lagos, you know. I could still multitask, do my assignments, show up for tests, exams, and still go to the studio. I mean, music was like on the side at the time, you know. I'll go to the studio when I can, go for shows when I need to perform, you know. But 2021, right, that's when the accident happened.
Yeah.
That's when it's there. 2020, I released an EP.
Right.
Saturn, that was like...
You released an EP?
Yeah, I released an EP.
Or here?
I mean, that was after lockdown. So, okay, this is how it progressed. I was in school, still doing music and, you know, just doing regular stuff. Mm-hmm. Lockdown hits. We all went back home. That's when I met... I met him before then, but that's when we like kind of like connected.
Oh, this, that's your manager?
My manager.
So this time you're just really an upcoming artist who's trying to make it out of the hood, right?
Well, we're texting on IG.
And he discovered 2019
December until 2020 lockdown.
Okay.
And we decided to link in person. Okay. So I was still a rapper then, but I mean, I was trying out the singing thing. And I met him and he was like, you know what, let's do like a camp. Right, a recording camp.
Right.
So I just wanted to try out new stuff at the camp. Right. So that's when I started Afrobeat.
So this was you just trying out new stuff. Yeah, this new career path is you trying out new stuff.
Yeah. I never saw myself being an Afrobeat artist, honestly. I never used to listen to Afrobeat.
Really?
I wanted to just be a rapper. You know. So that happened and that's when like I recorded the EP, the Saturn EP, you know. I mean, we'll put it out 2020 as well, August 2020. We started doing this thing. Well, I went back to school. But obviously, my name started gradually entering, like, the industry. A few people knew Big Tony. Because I did a song with Fowls in 2020. You know, yeah, he made that kind of happen. Right. I have a co-manager as well. That's Alaji, you know. He met Alaji. Okay. Alaji introduced us to Fowls. And Fowls was like, who's this guy? You know, say, I'm very grateful to Fowls for that. You know, doing a song with someone you don't know, you know, a name you've never heard of before, but you just like the music and you hopped on it.
You were good. No?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how your manager, let's talk about the influence of your manager, because this is you who's no weary. So Daffy finds you, right? And his influence is helping your music. Did you guys have like a label that you guys were under? What was the funding like? Like, where did the money come from to even set up a camp and record and all night? As in, they rub it out to people. What was the vibe like?
So, I met Daffy. He's an events guy. He does events in Lagos, right? So, he has a show called Let's Relate.
Okay.
And I was in school at the time. I'm going through my Instagram feed and I think it was a sponsored ad or something. I don't know how I stumbled across the Let's Relate page. Like, this is a platform for me. I need to get on this show. So I did a cover of Black Bones' song at the time, Shut Up. And he reposted it. I think Black Bones. Okay, Black Bones reposted it. He gave me like buzz at the time. I think that's when he hit me up. He's like, he's doing a rap edition for Let's Relate. So I came from Uwiri to Lagos. Right. He's still owing me 5,000 naira.
You know, fly.
Trip.
You didn't fly.
You didn't fly. Oh,
super sad.
We're busting it down.
Oh, wow.
We're busting it down.
Okay.
Yeah, so And I performed at the event, you know, and I really liked how it felt, you know, to a large gathering of young people. Because that's what the event was about. Was like a large gathering of young people, and you just come and showcase your talent. And I got a few fans from that ad. I wanted to keep like contact with him. So I'm like, Berman, anytime this is happening, you know, you could always hit me up for me to perform. And he had a December edition in 2019 as well. And then he put me on the lineup, but I didn't get to perform, but
yeah.
I mean,
what happened?
I tried to hit him up. He was nowhere to be found. I mean, he was busy, was doing stuff at the time. So yeah. And after that, then I think January 2020. That's when we started talking, and he was like, always interested in my music. And like, I'm looking for a manager, you know, and he's like, he's looking for an artist to work with.
Also, before then, Daffy didn't have any artists. He just used to do events.
And just used to do events, yeah.
But he believed in the brand.
Yeah.
So
I sent him the songs I was working on at the time. He listened to them. It's like, yeah, we could make something work. And we started discussing ideas. He started giving me ideas, you know, pointing towards direction that you know, I wasn't like looking at the time. And so this is 2020 now, and lockdown hit early 2020. So that's when I came back to Lagos, and that's when he's like, let's link. So that was like one of, that was like my fourth time coming to the island. Right.
Oh, sorry. You know that Iba you did before.
Yes, that Iba now.
Okay, so oh wow. So all of these moves that Daffy did really just bring you the God bless
like
Daffy.
So that was like my first time coming to the island, and you know, remembering those days.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're at this hotel in Phase One. It's close. What's it called? Five Inn, is it close? Something like that. Yeah, that's where we stayed. We did the camp.
So he started pulling strings for because he already has industry influence anyway.
So we did the camp. Oh, sorry, at the time, Sydney Tokan wanted to sign me as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sydney the comedian.
Yeah. But it didn't work out. So I think that's, you know, I don't know what happened. I can't remember. You know, but we started working, you know, on new music, and started discovering a new Victoni.
So, you know why I'm asking this question? Music is very expensive to push.
Yeah.
Distribution, even just managing an artist, what she look like and everything. Where was all these monies coming from?
Bro, we used to hustle it out. I mean, Daffy, we used to owe. Let me put it this way. Let me tell you, we're owing the owner of the hotel or the woman managing it. I don't know if she owns there.
Wow.
Like, we owed her.
Like, he didn't have a house here on the island.
He had a house, but it was going to be uncomfortable for him, like me to just come in and having producers, you know, come around. But he was like, he's a young guy, you know, not doing much. That was
so you guys were owing because you guys thought that you're going to make money from music, or that you guys were already making some money from maybe performing.
We're making money, but the music was important. We needed you know. We did that to make the music.
Right.
It made us happy.
Right.
So, and that's all that mattered at the time.
Mm.
You know, and it was lockdown. So, he's an events guy. No money, you know, stuff like that. So, but we did the camp. And that kind of like just introduced me to a new Victoria. Just made me know, this is interesting. Like, Afrobeats is interesting.
Mm.
It's not as simple as it looks when you're looking at it from the outside.
Right.
So when you start doing Afrobeats, you realize how complicated it is from understanding the beats, you know.
So you had to learn Afrobeats in like a year or...
Yeah.
What was that, learning curve like? Because this is you that's always been a rapper, right? And this is, it's a new phase of music for you. Did you fall in love with it when you started learning it or...
Yeah, I fell in love with it. But then, you know, it was like, you know, being a rapper all this time and not having to water down like your writing style to fit in the Afrobeat space, you know, it was kind of like a very uncomfortable process for me. Right. But, I mean, at this point in time, I've learned how to, like, you know, really balance that and make sure that everything I'm putting out has content.
Right.
And that's what this new EP kind of like portrays. Like, kind of like, oh, I've mastered my craft in the Afrobeat space. Yeah. But prior to then, like, you know, doing that switch.
You said watered down. Is it that Afrobeat don't require deep writing?
It requires deep writing.
Or you just need all those hooks where you do. I don't want to sing somebody's song, but those repetitions.
So that's the thing. That's why I thought, because that's what I'm saying. Like, I've always looked at Afrobeats like it's a very, very simple genre.
You know what's so funny? Rappers have a bit of, I don't know if I'll call it disdain, because they think that they're the ones that can write. They have the bars and everything.
But
they take themselves very seriously.
But the thing is, it's actually harder to like write as an Afrobeat artist.
Right.
Because you have to, it's like being Shakespeare to a layman still. Do you get like...
Just explain that in layman terms.
So you have to like, I feel like, so Afrobeats, right? You use like pidgin and stuff like that. Right. So when you have to use pidgin to come up with like metaphors and similes and make it sound like really crazy to people on the streets and to people in any level, that's like a very hard technique. You know, being a rapper, you know, like, oh yeah, you could just use English, use big grammars, do forcibly big rhymes or something like that. But with Afrobeats, like, it's different because you have to do it in a way that it makes sense, but it's not still too big to understand. Right? So that's why, like, it's really hard, like, writing as an Afrobeat artist.
Yes, I was going to ask this question. I've always wanted to ask rappers, right? You know, like, I was very good with literature, right?
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know, for you to be a rapper,
mm-hmm.
your literary skills have to be, like, 100.
Yeah.
Where did you pick up all of these skills from? Because you have to know, like, your words. Yeah. You know, to have to use them. And it's not, like, rappers are not dumb. That's what.
Yeah, definitely.
Rappers are not.
Definitely. You have to be smart to be a rapper.
You have to be smart to be a rapper.
So mine was from, like, imitation.
Right.
You know? And when I start writing, man, I say, oh, Drake said something similar to this, so I can look for something in that light, or, you know, Google up something.
But do you have to read and research a lot to be a rapper?
Not really. I watch movies, so like movies kind of like inspire me, like events in my life.
Okay.
But you don't have to read and research, because that makes it. I don't know, that makes it,
you know, because I've listened to some lyrics there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did he say that?
Like, so that's because, like, I feel like it also has to be natural to you, you feel.
Right.
That when you do stuff like that, it makes people feel like, oh, this guy looks this up. But it just comes naturally to you, because, like, with constant practice, and when you do something like really often, you know, find out new ways to do crazy stuff. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Let's talk about your accident.
Okay.
On the morning of your, I don't know what time the accident happened.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the day or the morning leading up to your accident. What you were up to?
Well, so I went to school, right? For like a new semester, and Daffy called me the morning that, if I could come back to Lagos for like an MTV interview or something of that sort, I can't remember. But my parents didn't know that I left school for Lagos, you know. So I was in Lagos at the time, in my friend's place, right? But they all went out, so I decided to like go to. If another friend of mine, Yusuf, come by, well, he goes by the name YKB now. He's an artist as well. So we spent the whole day together recording, you know, just vibing. And then YKB tells me it's actually his birthday in the night, if I'm interested to go for the party. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing anything. You know, the interview was the next day. So, I mean, why not? So we went for the party. It was at Landmark, I guess. I can't remember, honestly. went for the party. YKB had a song with Zlatan then. So it's like Zlatan is at DNA. You know, we should go league Zlatan. And then I went. And it was an interesting sight for me because, like, you know, I was on the come up and seeing like superstars at the club.
Because we're a Red Room.
No. I was not a Red Room. It was downstairs.
At DNA.
Yeah, it was downstairs. And, you know, seeing that was like my first time at the club.
Oh, because I mean, you were 20.
Yeah. Wow. That was like my first time at the club. So I seen all that. So it was like, wow. You know, seeing them spray so much money. You know, just how everyone was around.
No, sorry, all this time you were an artist in Owerri. You never just even sneak in that club.
I never see the lifestyle. I didn't know what to do. So, okay. You know, so seeing all that was like mind opening for me. I'm like, wow, this shit is real.
Mm.
And yeah, that happened. And then just leaving the club like way back, I slept off because I was tired. That was like my first time outside until that time.
Yeah.
So I slept off. And when I woke up, I was at the hospital with my dad. So I was like, what's happening? You feel? Because I mean, my parents didn't know I was in Lagos. So I'm like, what's my dad here? Like, and they told me I was out for like 3 or 4 days.
Stop it.
Tell you, man.
Are you saying that all the time that the accident happened,
yeah,
you slept through it?
Yeah. I mean, I was unconscious.
So from the sleep, you enter?
Yeah.
So like you can,
it's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
So tell me about the events. How many people in the car with you? Who was driving? Like,
so
what did you hear about the accident when you woke up?
I heard like the impact was from the back, like another car had hit us. Cause the driver and the other guy at the front, they were totally fine. But we're two at the back, two at the front.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the one beside me. He died while I broke my legs. So,
who was doing it to you?
I just met Doing that day or a day before.
Right.
So we just started to connect. But he was like a really fun guy.
Mm.
You know, he was a really fun guy. We just got to know each other. But we had like some stuff in common. Like, I think we really liked the Drake album. And that's like one of my favorite albums. And, you know, going to Oxley's birthday, we're jamming the song, you know. We're jamming songs from the album, rather. So, yeah, he was like a really cool guy.
So you woke up in the hospital and you see your dad.
Yeah.
Tell me about the hospital.
It was a very, very confusing moment. You know, it was really confusing. Because, like, first of all, what am I doing here? What happened? Did I fuck off? Like, what happened? It was just different thoughts, like, in my head, like, you know. And my dad was just happy that opened my eyes. Mm. And I was really quiet. And that got, like, my siblings really worried, you know, because they thought something was wrong with me.
What do you mean you were quiet?
I was really quiet because, like, I wasn't really talking to, like, anyone. Because I was trying to understand, you know, what had happened.
Were you some sort of shock?
Yeah, but I call it shock. I wouldn't say shock, but I was just really trying to take my time to understand what was happening at the time. Because it was a jump,
right,
if you think about it, right? So I'm like, yeah.
One time you're having a good time at the club.
Yeah, they told me I had an accident. They had already informed me, like, it was an accident. This happened. But they didn't tell me anyone died. They kept that from me. I'm like, everyone is good, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah. But I wasn't, like, really me, you know. I wasn't her, you know. I mean, when I'm around my siblings, I behave in a certain way. But none of that was happening. And just that kind of, like, raised, like, concerns, like,
were you sad? Were you confused?
Yeah. I just felt somehow. I don't even know how to explain it.
Mm.
Right? I don't know what.
Or maybe it shouldn't have been you.
Yeah.
Because there's so much ahead of you.
I don't even know how to explain it, but I just felt a certain way. Right? And, yeah, man. Like,
so this was you in the hospital. You couldn't walk. So, the doctor said you couldn't walk on you.
So let me tell you something. When he told me I couldn't walk.
That's what they said to you?
Yeah, like for the time.
Okay, okay.
For the time being.
What did that do to you? Honestly, your career is ahead of you. You can literally see. You didn't believe.
Yeah, I didn't believe. I'm like, nah, this thing is just one small injury. Like,
we'll be after out a while, we'll be.
So one day, the doctor came to my room and he's like, how am I doing? I'm like, I'm fine. So he told me to try to sit at the edge of my bed. So when I was unable to do that,
the realization hits, like,
it hits hard.
How did I'm that like, make you feel?
Helpless. Yes. That's when I felt sad. That's when I felt like really sad. You know, not being able to move. Like it was a really small distance. Not being able to raise my leg up. Like it was sad, to be honest. I didn't like the feeling. And I don't like when people feel pity for me.
Exactly.
I just hate it, man. Like
you know that thing where you're on the hospital bed? You've probably thought about, I mean, you just left Zlatan and this guy, you've seen your future ahead of you. And the next thing is that you can't even move.
Yeah.
What did you feel? Anger? Because I'm really trying to get the emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it anger or frustration that you feel at that moment? Also, because you don't even know when you're going to, like, get well. Like, this was a guy that was trying to get his career together. Yeah. And the next thing you're... Doctor is telling you, you probably have to use a wheelchair. In fact, that wheelchair experience, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you've probably seen other people on wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was, should I say angry? But then I begin to ask myself, what am I angry about? Like, whose fault is it? Like, because I started to, like, you know, act rude towards, like, people taking care of me at the time. But.
But did they understand that this there was a reason why you were?
Yeah, they understood, but I didn't want to give myself an excuse like to behave in that manner.
Yeah.
You feel? So I'll constantly ask myself that it's nobody's fault, right?
Yeah.
And I have every reason to be thankful.
Right.
You know, I have every reason to be thankful that I survived that crash.
So, you know, I'm dwelling on how, like, so mentally, right?
Mm.
I really, really want to know how you survived that, right? Because also, like, when you go through such things, people have survivor's guilt, right? In a situation where Doyin didn't make it, but you did.
Yeah.
Did you have that guilt that, you know what, I'm here and it's not?
So, I didn't have survivor's guilt.
Right.
But what I had was, I mean, I also blamed myself, like, it happened.
Why did you blame yourself?
Because I felt like I shouldn't have slept off. But you feel me? That's why I kept telling myself, like, I shouldn't have slept off. Right. I mean, somehow if I was awake, my spirit would have stopped the accident or something. Like, something would have just happened and I would have just been in control somehow.
Yes.
Even if I wasn't the one driving.
Yes.
So, and that kind of like filled my anger at the time.
Mm.
Like, why did I sleep off? Like, I let this happen.
Yeah.
You feel me? But I've been able to, like, you know, deal with it and let go of, you know, all the emotions.
You know, I don't know if it's safe to say this, but would you say that the accident was a blessing in disguise? Because, yes, your music was coming up, but then when the accident happened, everybody wanted to know what happened.
Yeah.
Who is this guy, this promising star that this thing happened to? Would you say that kind of influenced the trajectory of your music?
Yeah. Yeah, the accident is definitely a blessing in disguise, one. But not becoming famous after.
No, you're going to blow. I'm not saying that.
I feel you, but yeah. I mean, it's a blessing in disguise because it's teaching me a lot. I'm still learning from that experience.
Right.
You know, because it kind of like just slowed me down and just made me understand like certain things were really important in life. I feel like if the accident didn't happen, I would have lost myself to the game, like chasing, wanting to be this, like, oh, we need to be at this spot, you know. Even up until like my recent surgery, right? You know, being in so much pain and
This is really what I'm trying to get at, right? I'm not trying to
This is what I'm trying to get at because
when things like this happen to you, become very grounded.
Yeah.
Because you've seen like life flash before your eyes. Yeah. Somebody passed and you're here and now you have a new opportunity, right? So I want to know what it left you with, because now that you're in the industry, I think you're going to be moving differently than the rest of your colleagues.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really trying to get at.
Like, it kind of like just, it slowed me down at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me know certain things are very important in life, like my family.
Right.
You know, actually living.
Because
I wasn't living, like, prior to the accident. I was just chasing this music career. I wanted to be this, forgetting to, like, do certain things, forgetting to live in the moment, you know. And right now, I'm trying to, like, do all that, you know. So I know, like, I need to get things done in the music space, but sometimes I'm just Victor. I'm just Ibuka, like, 60% of the time. I don't joke with, like, being me.
Who you are.
You feel me? I don't want to get it all mixed up. I don't want to lose myself to the game. I don't want to, you know, lose myself while trying to impress people. Because, like, recently I asked myself, when I was in so much pain, how many people reached out to me? You know, all the people I'm trying to impress, the people I want to cheer me up, like, how many of them reached out? I mean, a couple of my fans did, but life moves on if you die. You feel me? So, regardless of what anybody's saying, bro, just live your life. For real, like, live your life. You know, and that's kind of like what it has, you know, just left me with. And that's what I'm just doing right now. Just taking things gradually, enjoying myself. Anything you want to say about Victor, you can, like, say.
This was a teachable moment for me. Like, I really wanted to know. So post the accident, your music is, I mean, you did Holy Father.
Yeah.
Post the accident with Miyoko. How did that collaboration come about? Like,
so, before the accident, in fact, that was another reason why I was in Lagos.
Yes.
The time the accident happened. Right. Because Miyoko wanted to shoot a content for Holy Father. Mm-hmm. So that was like before Blue Moment.
So you already voiced the thing, the Holy Father.
The accident. Oh, wow. So we're preparing to Blue.
Do you think it was going to blow like that?
Yes. We always
say yes.
Big Holy energy. Holy Father was that song for us. We don't joke with Holy Father. This is how, like, we're already walking pompous. Like, my manager will tell you, like, if you want to do anything with Victor, just do it now, because
whenever I will collect single.
When this song drops, it's like, you'll be able to reach us.
Wow.
So we knew.
You believe the song that much?
Yes, we knew.
The song was big shot.
Yeah. Yeah, we knew. I knew it was going to have that kind of impact.
Why?
It's just from the moment I recorded the song, when it came to me, when the hook came to my head, I just smiled. And I'm like, this one is a smash. But the producer didn't see it at the time. I was like the only one that saw it at the session. That was like cool. I didn't even need anyone to believe in the song, honestly. Like, the belief I had was 100. You know, so when the hook came to my head, like, Holy Father, when the line came to my head, I knew, like, this was a smash. And when I recorded it with the attitude I had in mind, it was even crazier than I imagined. So honestly, we knew Holy Father was going to be, you know, what it became. And yeah.
So after Holy Father, boom, the industry has seen a new star in their eyes. What happens next is, I mean, you're getting calls, you guys are now booked, clearly. Tell me about that takeoff. Yeah.
So
you also did a feature. No, you did a feature with Burna, right?
Yeah.
After all of that.
I mean, it wasn't one I imagined.
Okay.
Because before the accident, when I imagined being a superstar, I didn't imagine being on stage, you know, with a wheelchair or
might tell you something. The manager did.
Yeah.
That wheelchair where you did.
Yeah.
And you singing it. You, like, I did something like the accident might be a blessing in disguise. It was a different brand. I knew you were going to get it from the wheelchair, yeah. But at the time, like it just put some spotlights on you. Yeah. I wanted to know who Victoria was. I wanted to know what he was singing. Yeah. Do you understand? So like, I mean, after that, I just think that I'm not saying that I'm glad it happened, but yeah. Look at yeah. you, like.
Yeah, but I mean, man, I want to look at it as God's design now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
at the time, I couldn't see it.
Yes, yes.
You know, because
yes.
I wanted people to know Victoria because Victoria is this talented guy.
Yes.
Not because, oh, this thing happened to him. Oh, like, I hated that all that. Part, yeah, right? I just hated all that. Because when people watch me when I'm performing,
yeah.
I don't know if that's how they felt, but I just assume that's how they're feeling. And it kind of like affects my performance sometimes. So
you know why this is funny, yeah. right? This I'm imagine that you're on stage, right? You know that this song is banging,
mm-hmm.
but you don't even know if they are fucking with the song that's so crazy.
Exactly,
or this boy does the
yeah. exactly,
and I can fuck with you as a creative.
Yeah. So I hated being on a wheelchair, having to be carried sometimes. Like
wow,
just like bro, when is this going to be over?
Yeah,
you feel me? So that's no one, because like you said, like when you're starting a career, you kind of like see the end. And
yes.
so I mean, I imagine myself on big stages, like I imagine a different yeah. type of performance.
Yeah, right.
You know, all swagged out,
right.
girls screaming, you feel me? But I mean, that's how funny life can be.
Yeah.
But now like I'm on my feet and I look back at everything that happened, I just realized that this was God. You know, designing everything. I feel like God wanted my story to be special. Yes.
And I think that you have an amazing story.
Yeah.
I feel like your story will always be remembered. Like, in the history books, they remember yeah. Victoria that was here. Your feature with Burna, how did that come about? Like,
so, it was Buju's show.
Okay.
Right. And I was about to go on stage. And I see
it's Burna.
Yeah. Burna. And I see Burna boy smiling at me. But I wanted to ignore. I'm like, nah. It can't be me
Chris.
Now. No, it can't be me. No, I just felt like, does Burna boy know who I am?
Exactly.
I'm like, why is Burna boy smiling at me? He's like, and he tells them to bring him forward, mm. bring him here. And then he shakes me. Everything is still like a dream to me. Because let me tell you, I was discussing with my guy earlier in the day. I'm like, imagine what it to feel like to miss the big three. So, that night, Davido was rehearsing for his show somewhere in Lekki. And, you know, I think my manager was there, went to meet him. Just leaving there, went to Echo Hotel, and I saw Wizkid. Right, so leaving Echo Hotel to Buju's show, I saw Burna.
Wow.
So
wait, after Holy Father, are you saying that you're not already fucking with the big three?
I know, I was still new to the game.
Oh, what is industry?
I was still new to the game. I was still coming up. I was still on the come up. Everything doesn't happen like immediately. You
right,
feel me?
Right.
So I was still on the come up. So seeing Burna and just reminiscing on the conversation that I had with my friend in the morning.
It was
this is crazy. Burna boy is like, bro, we need to make one.
What? Yeah. He said that you need to make music.
Yeah, we need to make music.
What did that thing ring for you? Like, gum?
Bro, I had to tweet it in the morning. I'm like, when I shook my hand last night and he said, we need to make music.
Mad.
I mean, I had slept. And when I woke up in the morning, I'm like, this thing happened, dude.
So, does that give you more confidence? Because let me tell you, from my own... Sometimes when I see some of the greats, right, that have walked this path before me,
yeah.
and they're bigging me up, I go smile like saying a normal thing, no. But when yeah. I go back, I'm like, hey? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Does it help with your confidence? Did it help with your confidence?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. definitely. Because these are people you grew up listening to. You know, I mean, I was secondary school and Burna was baggy, like to party,
right.
you know, songs like that. So, I mean, Burna, you know, reaching out to me and telling me we need to make music, that is like a very defining moment for me, honestly. So, it did everything it needed to do to me. You know, boosting my confidence, making me believe how possible it was, making me understand that, look, we're not far anymore. We're not outside. Like, we're inside now. You know, I mean, if Burna boy can recognize me, that means a lot of people can recognize me as well. You know, so, yeah, that's what it did to me.
Amazing. So, I mean, I've said from the beginning, I'm a fan of your music. And you released an EP. Apple. I was in that hole when you released it, and I love the songs. I want to know what inspired that entire EP.
So like I said, you know, starting off rapping, having to leave that, forget that I could rap, so I can do Afrobeats, and now realizing that I can actually infuse the technique I use in writing as a rapper into Afrobeats. Those are like the three phases in my career, like currently. So that kind of like inspired me to, like, you know, do the outdoor EP. You know, at the time when I realized that I could like infuse that into Afrobeats, and my writing changed. That's when I started recording like new songs, and I put those songs together in one project to show people that this is where I am right now, you know, in Afrobeats. But I did that in like 2021 though, and I released it in 2022. And that's when that kind of like pisses me off, because like my music always, like, people don't know Victoni. So when I see conversations about Victoni, like musically, it annoys me, you know, because like where I am now is a very different space from like the Outlaw EP. You know, I've developed like so much more, like as an Afrobeat artist, my understanding of Afrobeat has changed. Like my writing, my techniques, how I handle beats, how I pass my message.
So where are you now? You know,
everything. I'm in God mode.
Ooh.
You feel me? Like, you feel me? Like, I feel like...
No, speaking of God mode.
Yeah.
When then we were recording Soweto? Because that's a classic.
Bro, that was like 2021.
That's,
I don't even want to...
That's that before was, you've that even God
freestyle.
Mode.
Soweto was a freestyle.
Hey,
well, honestly, I'm not even... I recorded Soweto... I recorded Soweto and Rosemary like same day, right? And that's kind of like a freestyle. You can tell from the lyrics how unserious it sounded, you know? And, you know, and that's what like people... used to like compare me with other people, and it kind of like pisses me off, because like this is 2021, Victoria, or 2023, and it's not a bad thing that, you know, everything I put out is like a success, and so it kind of like gives me more time before I release music. So I always have to stay ahead of everything I'm releasing. I feel like it's like that for like other artists as well, but I feel like my case is special because I know how to like adapt, like think about switching from being a rapper to Holy Father. Yeah. That is like crazy adaptation in this short period of time. So imagine how well I've leveled up from 2021 to now. So
now that you're in God mode, we should be worried.
That's like crazy. So yeah, that's what kind of like inspired the EP at the time. But right now, I'm in a space where I don't even now know what to put out, because like I've just done too much. There's Afrobeat, there's pop, there's trap, there's everything. I've kind of like mastered like everything. Mm. I'm doing everything like really well. So I don't now know what to give out. So that's why my next project, I'm deciding. I'm like putting it together like in bits, you know. So we the understanding is not to, yeah, you should be worried.
But you know one song that I can't get off my head? Oh, power belongs to you. You know, when I heard that song, I'm like, Jesus, he did it. He sang it. I'm like, oh, power belongs to you, Jesus. But this song is a hit. And like every time I sing it, I'm like, God, it's not me that Victoria talk about. But like, what was going on in your head? Because all power belongs to your bombo.
It's just in the studio. It's a crazy day at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
The beat is crazy. I'm like, this hook has to be provocative. Like, because everything I built up onto the hook was crazy. I needed something to like take you from this to this. That, I needed something that would give me a reaction.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, I wasn't trying to
overdo it though.
But my mind, it was just vibes for me at the time. I wanted it to cause a reaction. I'm like, bro, there's already a conversation about me and Bom Bom on the internet.
Right.
So why not?
What conversation was that, please?
People were, like, the way people said I like us. You feel me?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like exaggerated online, but I wanted to just play the role still.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of like give them what they wanted at the time. Like, yeah, people really like this, because like this is already on Twitter at the time. So
when you recorded that verse, that hook in the studio, what was the reaction from your guys?
Everyone's
scattered.
You know, and I was very involved with the production as well. Right. So when I recorded the hook, I knew that a powerful bass line had to follow through. So my message is like really clear. You feel? But to my greatest surprise, the reception was different.
You have some backlash, right?
Yeah, but I don't care about. I'm at the point in my life where, to be honest, right, like, it doesn't even get to me what people say. Mm-hmm. And because of what I described earlier to you, because when you ask yourself how many people were there for you in the time of pain, so people that just go online to tweet bad about me, like, I feel like they don't deserve my time. And I feel like it's like ignorance to them. Because like, you know, I need to just only respond to people that care about me at this point in my life. And that's one thing, like, I thank God for, you know. I thank God, like, the accident happened. It really taught me that. Because if not, all the stuff that probably
got into you. Because I think that, back to the accident, right? I think that when you go through something this traumatic and you get over it, you become very committed to self.
Yeah.
In that, like, the externals are not really affecting you because you've been through worse.
Yeah.
You understand? So you just really want to do things that make you happy, produce the kind of music that you want to produce and keep it moving.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you are. Would you say that you've found yourself as an artist?
Well, I feel like I always keep discovering.
Right.
You feel me? But I'm at the place where...
But you know
where,
who you are.
Yeah, I know who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... You know, you can't necessarily pay attention to everything because, honestly, I'm the type of person that likes to make things right. I don't want anything bad about my name.
Yeah,
I want to correct this info. I want to... But
we can't control it.
You can't control this. So being at this stage and just seeing some things fly, I just let it fly, to be honest. Because, like, if you start stressing about it, you're just doing damage to yourself. So you need to really take care of yourself. I really love myself.
I see that.
I like to pamper myself. I don't like to mess my swag up. You know, I'm thinking of what clothes to piece together. You know, I'm thinking of what activities to do on vacation. So I don't want to pay attention to all that. Nice. I don't want it to take my time. You feel me? So, yeah, that's just where I am right now.
I'm happy for you. I mean, you guys are living in good times. You and your team. The music is doing well. The reception is amazing. I mean, you guys have Soweto Remix.
Yeah.
You just dropped the video.
Yeah.
How's that doing?
Yeah, it's doing well. It's doing well.
I mean, you guys are living in good times.
Yeah.
So, what are we expecting in the future? You guys, are you going on tour? What products are we expecting from you?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I'm putting like my next EP together.
Right.
I mean, I kind of like announced like a deluxe, but I don't even know if that's going to happen. I'm just, you know, I'm just taking my time because there's so much songs to choose from. And I want to make sure that I still follow, you know, through what I've established already with my fans and kind of like don't lose touch by being ahead. So I'm kind of like putting that together right now. But I want to go, I'm going to the US real soon because that's somewhere I've never been to.
I need to
take the Outlaw EP there.
Right.
You know, Soweto as well. Do some
performances. You already have a fan base there, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
But I want to see that for myself. Okay. You know, so that's what we're trying to do now. Just taking our time for the next step. I just
it's gonna be crazy. I'm wishing you the best. I think that you're gonna do so well. Okay, so there's a part of this show that is called Spill the Tea, Kotsi Leptin. Basically, you just spill the tea. I'm gonna ask you a few questions. There are no wrong answers, but just give me some right answers.
Okay.
I'm gonna reward you with a special Leptin goodie bag.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
So this question is here, put together my producer. I have nothing to do with it. So let me just tell you before. Okay, this one. What's your favorite Victony track?
That one is a hard question.
A big stopper. It's always a favorite.
It's always a favorite. No, with me, every song I record is like a favorite song at the time. If I tell you my favorite song now, you will not know it because I just recently made it. So, yeah, that's how it is for me. But that's
what I love. I love it. Okay, so This one says, we know you like Bon Bon, but what other factors do you give power to when considering the potential partner?
First of all, let me make this clear. It's not that deep. Do you understand? But I mean, is my love for Bon Bon is, I mean, it's there, of course. I have to acknowledge that. Okay, so but good. It's not as deep as it is on the internet. Right. You know, but yeah. I mean, if you're fun, you know, if basically if I can catch a vibe with you, mm-hmm. and obviously if you have us to, that's. I mean, it's not that deep, but it has to be there.
Yeah, it's not a deal breaker, but I mean, just
I mean, for the sake of.
Okay. Your music has been going places. What's the most recent Big Boy splurge? I mean, obviously the money is here now, the shows, the lifestyle. What's that one thing that you don't buy where we say you safe and we say some years ago I would not dare this. I would not even try it.
What would it be? I mean, man. Obviously I have like this, you know, the thought of, you know, when like it's not like you've gotten something yet, but like just checking out something because you can afford it, right? So like sometimes it's just like my guys are talking about cars. I'm like, oh, let me see, what car is that? Mm. And they're like, oh, is this one? And I knew years back that's something that we would dare talk about like Corolla. You feel me? But now I'm like, oh yeah, let me see that. Oh, okay.
Okay, so which car
are
you seeing?
Which car am I seeing? I don't want to see it.
Talk him now. That's the idea.
I don't want to see it.
No, no. You cannot.
I don't want to spoil the cruise. When I see it, when you see it on the internet, you feel it.
Okay, let me let this. For you, for not answering that, you have to answer this one. And this time, you're not going to get off. This is the last one. So you have to do it.
Okay.
As a star, we can only imagine how crazy your lifestyle would be, right? Mm-hmm. What's the wildest message you've gotten in your DMs? Especially because you've put it out there that you like Bon Bon. So I imagine that there's a lineup. In your DMs.
What's the wildest message? That's it. Because I don't really pay attention. I mean, I've seen some wild stuff, but they don't really stick with me like that. So I don't know if I can remember anyone now. But I think it's where the all-power challenge was going on.
It was a challenge.
It was a challenge.
Wait, people are shaking your show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, my DMs were really, I'm like, ah.
You were saturated.
This is crazy. This is.
Don't be a dog say you should buy that.
No, but it was too much for me at the time because they don't even say hi. You just, boom, you just open your name. I'm like, ah.
Voila.
You know, Shelley, what's this? So, that was wild for me, Sha.
Must have been in a madhouse at the time.
Yeah, honestly.
Anyway, my bro, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story. I think that just speaking to you, God has a plan for your life and your career is going to even go bigger than this. And I wish you the best going forward. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming on the show. Cutsy Lipton, your special goodie bag. I've been no opener for you. When you reach us, make you open up. But thank you for coming on.
Of course.
Help me sign out.
This is Victoria the Outlaw King and I had a good time with Temi-san on TVT. Do check it out when you can.
Thank you so much and it's a wrap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.